Welcome to the Hallyu Wave. It's episode 3, and this week we are reviewing first a single from Davichi. No music video, but definitely a track that we can get our hands on or our ears on, and it's called Do Men Cry. Also have AOA, it's a new group that just came out with their track Elvis. And then we're going to talk Tiara. First, we're going to review the mini album Day by Day. Then we're going to put in our 2 cents on the crazy controversy that basically went on the last week and a half and is still kind of winding down. So we'll have fun with that. But first, let me introduce you to the co-host this week. It's Erica.
And hi.
She... Hi.
I'm Erica. Hello.
Yeah. Yep. Erica was along with Sanjo-chan and a friend of ours called Kim. Some of the people that definitely got me into K-pop to begin with. So you can blame her.
A little bit.
yes. But go ahead, Erica, and I guess introduce yourself and talk a little about how you came into K-pop on your own.
Oh, okay. Well, it was years ago, probably at least 4 or 5 years ago, I was looking on YouTube for something, I don't remember what it was, and in the sidebar, for some reason, as a related video, was the Wonder Girls video for Tell Me, and I watched it. And it was just, it was adorable and cute and catchy, and the dance was really neat, and that's pretty much what got me started. And then I also had a friend who I went to high school with who was actually from Korea, and she said, oh, you like the, you know, you like Wonder Girls, you'll like these people. And she sent me the video of G from Girls' Generation, and that pretty much snowballed everything else.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I could define 2 traits about you, it's you like cute and cuddly.
And, I do, and pink. Dear yes. God, pink.
Yeah,
do not forget the pink.
Especially the early music videos for Girls' Generation and Wonder Girls definitely were fitting with that. So,
Very much. And
actually, I guess one of the highlights of our K-pop career so far, if I'm so bold to speak for you, would be, I've mentioned this before, but when I got the chance to go see the Wonder Girls and then 2 p.m. open, and I got to see that with Erica, and it was awesome.
It was so much fun, and I mean, it was... Now, I really wish that we could have actually had, like, a real meet and greet, but, you know, they don't really call... They don't call them what they are. They say it's a meet and greet, but it's really more of a, like, here, we're going to shove you next to them, and you're going to get this blinding flash in your face, and then we're going to shove you the opposite direction. And but it was still... It was really nice, and at least they said hi. I mean, they made the effort to try to talk to people, and I really like that.
Definitely.
And it was an amazing, amazing concert. I was so... So happy that I got to go, and I think it wasn't that like right after or right before the Miyavi concert, so that was like a really good time.
Oh yes, yes.
That was a very good summer.
Yes, because yeah, we also have the J-Rock history together too, so yeah, good stuff. But yes, so thank you again, Erica, for being here, and
thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. Glad to have your input, and let's get right into the mini album reviews. So this week, our first single that we are reviewing is from Davichi. Davichi is a group that formed in 2008 with 2 members, and I think that's how they stay. They are with the Core Contents Media label, and it's actually amusing. I didn't think about this ahead of time, but all the music tonight we're reviewing is from Mnet Music, and a lot of it's from Core Contents Media, including Tiara. I will say my first encounter with Davichi was actually thanks in part to my brother, and then... direct or indirectly thanks to Erica introducing him to the song 8282, which is their first single. So I don't have a whole lot of history beyond knowing that they do really lovely music. It's not always as upbeat as their opening single, 8282, as I think this one, Do Men Cry, isn't. But let me just turn it to you, Erica, and say, I guess, as a Davichi fan, or as somebody who probably knows a little more about Davichi than I do, what do you think of this track?
It was really, really pretty. Like, their voices are just so powerful. That's one of the things I really like about them. It's like, it's very distinctive. Like, even when they did a subgroup called Sia with some members of Tiara, and you could always, always, always pick out that it was them singing because their voices are that defined. And that's one of the reasons I like them so much. The song was just, it was, the music and the vocals were very pretty, but the lyrics were so sad, so sad. And I was just like, I guess I should have assumed by the name of the song, obviously, but, you know, they have a penchant for writing very serious and deep songs, which is kind of refreshing in a way because of all the bubblegum and the cutesy and all that kind of stuff, because you start to wonder, like, okay, do they see that there are other aspects here? And Davichi seems to be a lot more adult, I guess. Like, they're more mature than some of the other groups, because obviously they're a little older and they've been around a little longer. But all in all, I thought it was very pretty and I liked it.
Yeah, I concur, especially in just your portrayal of Davichi, because I feel, I mean, one, just having two members alone really kind of speaks. They're like, we don't need other members to fill in. We have enough powerful strength in our voices to really just lead on our own. And they do that so well.
Mm-hmm.
I also agree that pretty much while I couldn't name the other tracks I've heard from Davichi, they all do have that kind of powerful but very depressing kind of mature element, as you say.
Yeah.
And yeah, this one, immediately I was thinking that this would be perfect, for instance, like for a romantic montage in a K-drama. Maybe not a happy montage, but, you know, just the kind of natural flow and, I guess, ballad-esque element of the song really made me think, oh yeah, this, if it's not in a K-drama, it probably will be.
Well, and maybe even, like, the end credits, because, you know, a lot of times the end credits, they have a really powerful sad song sometimes. It depends on the tone of the show, obviously, but, you know, and anime does that as well, but I think it would work for something like that too.
Oh yeah, that's very true. You mentioned the lyrics, and oftentimes, unless I'm really confused by the music video, as we'll get to shortly, I don't usually look up the lyrics, because I know we've encountered this before where we have one idea of what it is and then we get disappointed when it's something else entirely.
Right, because you try to pick up what you think based on the tone of the song,
yeah,
and just the way that they're sent, the way they sound, what you think it's about. And a lot of times it is kind of exact opposite of what you thought it was, or it's a happy song when you thought it was sad, or it's sad when you thought it was upbeat. And it was just kind of strange. But this one, since it doesn't even have a video, that didn't help at all.
Yeah.
And so I found the English translation, and it was very, very sad. It was about going through a breakup, and she's saying, you know, how just crushed and sad and just, you know, just in despair that she is. And then she starts saying, you know, do men even care? Like, do they cry like we do? And do they feel as bad as we do? And all this stuff, like, basically about talking about a breakup, and you think that they just, you know, they do this and they don't seem to feel bad like you do. And so I think that's kind of where they were going with it.
Yeah.
That's the impression I got.
Yeah. Well, again, I forgot, even without having a music video, I didn't think to look up the lyrics. So I totally take your word on that.
Well, I thank you for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess just kind of a final question I like to ask before we move on to the other tracks and music videos. Is this a song that you would see being added to your playlist, and one that you would kind of, you know, listen to a lot?
Ooh, I would probably, you know, I would probably definitely buy it and have it on my playlist, but I don't know how often I would actually listen to it, because unless I'm just in a really, really, really sad mood or something, I don't tend to listen to things that are sad. So that's why I do like a lot of the upbeat stuff, and I listen to that more than other things, because usually listening to a song that's like super emotional and very, you know, very sad, it doesn't seem to make sense if you're not in that mindset.
Yeah.
To me. And so I would probably listen to it a little bit, but I wouldn't listen to it nearly as much as, say, you know, something else more dancey and upbeat.
Yeah, I totally agree, because I think even with there being so many ballad tracks and kind of just these more, you know, sad but beautiful K-pop songs, for me, what really got me into K-pop was the more upbeat tracks.
Right.
So, yeah, I liked it. I, you know, bought it on iTunes. Otherwise, yeah, it'll be an occasional play, but it won't be too much. And it's not anything against the song. It's just, you're right. If you're not in a sad mood, it'll put you there.
Exactly. And if you're not sad, I don't think you would want to be sad.
One would hope not. All right, well, moving on to the second single, and this one actually has a music video. Mm-hmm. It's a new group called AOA, which stands for Ace of Angels, and it's kind of an interesting dynamic because they have a total of 8 members. 5 of the members form the band component, while 7 members can form the idol component, and there is overlap with only really one member that is exclusively delegated to the band, and that's the drummer. And they are off of the FNC label, which again is under Mnet Music, so the same super label that all these artists are for this episode. And their new track is called Elvis. And it was very interesting in a lot of ways, just trying to figure out what the song meant, if it meant anything. I guess, what are your thoughts?
Well, it didn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. Like, I got the part, they're talking about Elvis, and they have the white jumpsuit-inspired outfits and everything. But when I looked up the lyrics, it didn't really seem to make much sense. I looked up the English translation, which, you know, again, it's the internet. It may not be the best, most accurate translation out there. But basically, there is just saying, Elvis, you drive me crazy. You drive everybody crazy. That's all it is. Like, there's nothing else to it. And I was just like, okay, well, that's kind of strange. And in the video, I get the part, I guess, about the angels because that's their band name, Ace of Angels. So I got that. But they just plop down in the middle of a main square and just dance. And then there's the flashes where you see them playing, you know, their instruments, which I honestly wasn't sure was real.
Yeah.
I didn't know if they really did. And I couldn't find anything. Normally you can find like at least a Wikipedia article about these groups, but I think it's just because they are literally so new, like within the last week.
I mean,
it says they debuted on July 30th. That was only about a week or so ago. And so I guess nobody really has had a chance to put anything together. Now, I mean, you can find information on the members themselves, but there's not a whole lot that I could find that tells you that, you know, I mean, let me see. I checked another website and they actually do tell you what position they are in the group. But if I hadn't found anything like that, like just watching the video, I definitely would not be able to tell whether or not that was real or not.
Sure.
So, but I was actually explaining to somebody, if they were playing their instruments, I was going to be very impressed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You definitely do not see things like that in K-pop, especially not with the girl groups like this. You just don't, because that's not what they do. They sing and they dance and they perform. They don't play instruments, at least not on stage.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely rare. And, yeah, I guess to kind of talk about the music video, too, and just give a little more exposition if you haven't watched it yet, which it is on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely available. And starts out, like Erica's saying, You're kind of in just this street area, and you have the signage on an old theater. It looks like where it says, the Ace of Angels. And then you just have the one random angel just kind of fall to the ground, and I love the photographer guy. It's just like, I don't know what to do, but I'm just gonna take a lot of pictures because she's so pretty. But it reminded me of the Axe commercial too, where the angels just kind of fall all together in the street area
Oh,
at the beginning.
I remember that.
Yeah, and then it kind of, like Erica was saying, it kind of goes into this, balance of the singing or the rapping, the dance sequence, and it does end up with them finding music or finding musical instruments and be like, "Hey, want to play? I guess we're angels. Let's do it." So, yeah, I think the music video for me was more, I mean, you had, the sequin jacket linked to Elvis, but I think the music video itself was more just an introduction to the members themselves. And I do agree, they highlight them playing and they are supposed to actually play instruments, but I didn't feel like they made it obvious enough that they were.
Not
Except
really.
for maybe the drummer, because like even her drummer twirl that drummers can do with the drumstick, I was like, okay, that looks actually impressive. But otherwise, yeah, I was curious. I'm like, do they play? But yeah, after finally some digging, I found out information, and they're supposed to at least.
I'm looking the website that I found, and it kind of makes me sad because it looks like they're trying to the pictures that they have for the members. Because they have the picture and they have the person's name and all the stuff, their date of birth, their height and the weight for some reason,
Oh, yeah.
and their position in the band. Well, everybody in these pictures is wearing their glammed out white Elvis looking outfits from the video, and they're in these very dramatic poses, very, very pretty, very feminine. You get down to the bottom, very last picture is the drummer, and she's wearing ripped black jeans and a really metal looking band t-shirt. And I'm like, well, that's not fair. Like, I mean, drummers can be pretty.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like they're trying to force this image of her being a tomboy or something when maybe that's not, so much the case. I mean, I could be completely off on this, but it's just something that was very obvious because all the other girls were dressed up. And then you get to her picture and she's wearing ripped jeans and a band shirt.
I kind of
So,
wondered, I was kind of, even just with the video, not having seen the pictures you're looking at, I was kind of wondering if it's like with FX. And I can't believe I don't remember her. Amber.
Amber.
Yeah,
Oh,
if it's
gosh, you're
like
right.
Amber, where most fans, I think, assume that that's just Amber's personality. And so my curiosity would be, yeah, are they trying to highlight the fact that, hey, the drummer's just in the band? Or is that the drummer wanting to stick out because she's not going to be dancing with the rest of them on stage?
Right, that's that, and you never really actually know unless they come out and say it, officially. You really just it's just a bunch of, speculation, I guess, as to what they're trying to do. But I did at least enjoy the video, and the dancing was very cute, and the song was pretty catchy. But it just, like, the lyrics again didn't make much sense, but I still like the video and the song.
Yeah. Speaking to the song, I felt like, I guess just getting right to the lyrics, I did actually look these up for the same reason, because I was just like, what's going on? And I do think it's basically a lot of just repetition of saying, like, you're my Elvis, everybody, is falling in love with you. So it could be just like, really, I'm in love with this handsome guy, everybody else is in love with you too. But I'm in love with you, and just kind of repeating that over and over. But what was interesting to me is with the entrance, because I watched the video before I heard the song separately, and so with the entrance of the angel, I'm like, oh, this might be like a really lovely kind of a song. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so much rap in it. It just starts off with like so, like Spice Girl meets CL kind of rap right at the beginning.
Yes, and actually, my boyfriend Nate said that it was a cross between 21 and Girls' Generation, and I thought that was dead on,
Oh,
because
yeah, and
they have the cutesy dancy girly vibe of Girls' Generation, but they had the sound and the attitude of 21. So it was just, and I like that. I think that was kind of a good match.
Yeah, I definitely felt, because I have in my notes that even just the scenery, I don't know if you've seen the paparazzi music video, Erica.
I have, and I love it.
Okay, well, and that, while that takes a more Broadway twist,
yes.
You know, that same kind of street style in front of an old theater.
Right.
I mean, that opening alone reminded me exactly of this video. But yeah, just the number of members and kind of their, yeah, I guess their glamorous look when they weren't rocking out really did make me feel Girls' Generation as well. So who knows? They could be aiming for them.
Well, I mean, they have a lot of members just like they do. They're only one off from Girls' Generation to begin with. So maybe that's what they're trying to do. I mean, I kind of get the feeling, and maybe this is just me being kind of cynical, but I always get the feeling that these new girl groups, is that that's their only goal, is that they're just trying to get to that status of Girls' Generation. And that's probably not fair to assume of everyone. I mean, maybe people just want to have fun with it.
Yeah.
And they're not trying to gain that level of, you know, popularity or status or whatever. But for some reason, that's always in the back of my head when these new girl groups come out. I'm like, oh, they're just trying to be another Girls' Generation or another Wonder Girls or another 21, you know, somebody who is already very well established and very popular and has been around for a while.
Yeah.
It always seems to come back to that. But that's not necessarily a bad thing either, because if they're actually really good and really talented, which I think these girls are, then it shouldn't matter if they are similar to these people or not.
Yeah. Well, and I'll say to that, first of all, I think the CEOs would love them to be in the next Girls' Generation.
Well, obviously.
So yeah, they probably totally don't mind. They're like, you know what, they could sound exactly alike, but if they rake us in the same amount of millions these girls are making, it doesn't matter.
Right.
But to, yeah, your point with comparisons, I mean, especially with K-pop, where the artists that are known are so well known,
mm-hmm.
You have so many comparisons, you know, whether they are similar or not, just rise up because, you know, it's like, oh, yes, they're trying to be the next 21. They're trying to be the next Big Bang. And I'm like, maybe there's some kind of style to it because K-pop holistically does have a very similar style.
It does.
Obviously, it's got some range, but, it, you know, so it's hard to avoid those comparisons.
It kind of is, and I feel like that kind of preemptively pigeonholes anyone that comes along afterwards. Like, you know, you have Kara, Girls' Generation, Wonder Girls, 21, even Tiara, I mean, they're already very well established. They've been around for a long time. Well, then you have people like Miss A, brand new.
Yeah.
You know, and then AOA, and, you know, and it's just, it's very hard to not get lumped in to that particular mold because it does already exist.
Oh, definitely.
And you know, and it's hard not to sound similar when they're all using the same techniques. Like, they're all trying to be upbeat. They're all trying to be girly and feminine and pretty and whatever. And so it does start to kind of melt together, I guess.
No, I totally understand. I guess then this is a good segue to kind of the final question I have for you on this.
Okay.
And it's not even so much like, would you play this song again, but do you feel that this is a particularly strong debut?
Lyric-wise, maybe not, but I mean, the song is very catchy and it's got a cute dance with it. So I think it could be. If they push it hard enough, I think it could be. I just don't know how, it doesn't really, right now I don't see how much their company is going to promote them, because that does have a lot to do with it. It depends on how much promotion they get and as to how popular they are. But I think this song is a good starting point for them.
Yeah, I was thinking in comparison to a lot of groups that have been around,
mm-hmm.
Like I looked at their YouTube views, they only have 400,000 right now. And of course you have, you know, artists like Psy. Of course his has gone viral, but artists like Big Bang, and theirs are like 10 million or 21, which are probably like 8 million or you know, around there. So yeah, I agree. I don't know how much lyrics play into, especially with Korean fans, you know, mm-hmm. who understand the lyrics. I don't know how much that matters, but being able to play instruments could mean that their live stages are really impressive when they do all the TV shows. And just, yeah, their blending of styles should help them. So I think it's a step in the right direction, but you're right, promotion is so key. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
지쳐 사랑 그 끝은 까만 터널 속 보이지 않는 길이 나는 너무 두려워 태양이 내리쬐는 붉은 사막처럼 목말라 울고 있는 사람처럼 Kiss me my baby.
All right, finally we've decided to cut it down just to two music video singles because we have a lot to talk about with Tiara. But we are getting to the controversy later, and we are starting with the mini-album and music video-slash-single, Day by Day. Just to tell you a little about Tiara, their members, and not just recently, have been quite fluctuating, so it's hard to ever peg down, I guess, how many girls they have. Just know that it's usually more than the last time you checked. They were with Core Contents Media, though, and they formed in 2009, and they've definitely been pretty big on the scene as of late with Bo Peep, Roly Poly, Lovey Dovey, and really just from then on till now with Day by Day been making the charts light up and doing pretty well. Also of note is that Tiara, especially lately, has been doing these really extensively long music videos.
Very long.
Yes, and this is one of them. It's like 16 minutes, I think. Counting about 3 minutes behind the scenes?
Yeah, the video says 15:58, but I mean, it might as well just be 16 minutes long.
Yeah, we're rounding that sucker. But yeah, just to preface that, so I have a lot of details, but I don't know how much I want to spoil it, and we can, it's a part one, so really all the suspense is still built up for us as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts off, and you're introduced through this narration, and I haven't found the translation yet, but basically I assume it's talking about a future Earth and in a post-apocalyptic world, and it's really dramatic, but then all of a sudden you hear the song Day by Day, which is not that dramatic kind of play, and you cut to these two cute Tiara girls, one of them the newest, youngest member, and they are just riding along, and you know, everything seems happy. Sure, the world's destroyed, but they are smiling, so good times. And so you think everything's going pretty well. They play with a bunny. One of the girls has a crossbow and, you know, is trying to shoot a dove. So maybe there's, you know, trouble in paradise. But otherwise, that side seems fine. Then move to what's kind of being contrasted, which is Jion, one of the Tiara members. And she is in charge of this gang. And they're going around killing people who won't help them find, wouldn't you know it, the new young cute girl of Tiara, who's named Danny, and so they're trying to track her down. And kind of as the music video progresses, they encounter each other, cuteness meets violence. Let's just say violence tends to win against cuteness, at least temporarily. And yes, so it's very Mad Max in my opinion. What'd you think about the music video though?
The music video was very impressive. I'm actually really, really liking these longer videos that they've been doing, but just because it gives a theatrical feel to it, because, you know, even though it's just 15, 16 minutes, you still feel like you've gotten this whole big story, and I really, really like that. I like the scenery, because they portrayed the, I guess, post-apocalyptic landscape and just everything very well, because it was almost like just perfectly, you know, everything was perfectly destroyed.
Yeah, I can only imagine this video had quite the budget just to support that, the scenery alone.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they would have had to because it was just too much work to not have to put money into it. But there were a couple of parts that I was a little fuzzy about, and I kind of wish that they had maybe elaborated more, but that might be coming in the sequel.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be, you know.
Did you have any, like, specifically that you want to talk about?
Well, just the new girl that is in the video, I'm getting the impression that she's supposed to be blind.
Yeah.
Because the way that she's feeling around for everything and just, you know, and I'm not really sure. I think it was Hyomin that she was riding with.
Yes.
And she's trying to, you know, protect her and keep her from, you know, doing anything, you know, like running into something or whatever. So I kind of just assumed that that's what they were trying to do, is to give you the impression that she was blind or something. But I kind of wish that they had maybe just done something a little more concrete instead of just saying, you know, doing all these different things that you could you know, maybe misconstrue. Because,
yeah.
I don't know exactly what they could have done, but I feel like maybe they could have done something a little more specific so that you would understand without a doubt that this is what's going on.
Yeah, I will say it took me until the scene where the cute rabbit is introduced
yes.
for me to realize, oh, wait, she's blind.
Yes.
And I'm confident she is because, yeah, that's the moment where she's feeling around. She's averting her head because she's like, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter because she can't see it.
Right.
So that, and then right at the end, just kind of, I mean, you'll see it if you watch the music video. Yeah, Danny, this girl, is captured, and Jion's holding her in a cage. And I think for extra intimidation factor, she is hitting, like, a stick against the bars of the cage. And so she can hear it, but she doesn't, or Danny, who's trapped, can hear it, but she doesn't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all what I got on the first view. But just watching it again this time, at the very end, you have... It's almost like an epically awesome scene, although you're still rooting against Jion as the bad girl.
Right.
But it's the moment where, I mean, it looks like she's got her full gang. She's just walking down the street, like almost Clint Eastwood style, with them all causing chaos and beating everybody up. And then right in the back on what looks like a swamp dune buggy, you have Danny, and she's strapped to it in chains, but she's got almost like an astronaut helmet. And at first, I thought maybe that was just symbolism, but now I wonder if it's so that she can't hear what they're doing, because she definitely can't see all the chaos they're causing.
That's actually a really good theory.
Yeah, because...
It would make sense.
Well, and, like, there's the scene in the cage, too, where Jion, after intimidating her, basically seems like she's acting nice to her. And, again, I don't know Korean, so I don't know what she's saying. But I feel maybe there's some connection there as well. Oh, and that's also... this is what really confuses me. That's also the moment where Danny's eyes flash blue.
Oh.
And I'm like, maybe she's a robot.
Maybe she's a robot.
Oh, yeah. That is my theory.
Hey, if anything is possible, because these videos are getting more and more elaborate, so you never know.
Yeah, this is true. Going, I guess, back to, yeah, one of your earlier points, which is, you know, I mean, just that you like these kind of videos.
I do.
I will say what turned me into a Tiara fan was watching Cry Cry music video on demand, actually. And I thought I was going to watch zombie version Lovey Dovey, and I either
awesome.
Mishit it. Oh, yes, I love that one. And I probably would have still fallen in love with Tiara as a group if I watched that one first, because that's still one of my favorite music videos. But we ended up watching, it was me and some friends, we ended up watching the whole 20-minute video. And it was long, but it was definitely epic.
Yes.
But it just, like, this music video, it just introduced me to so many of the other songs, too, where I wasn't just interested in the single. I'm like, oh, now I want to check out the B-sides as well.
Yeah, it makes me want to listen to more of their stuff, because it's like you were saying, they kind of preview other songs within these videos, whether it's at the beginning or the end or maybe a middle intermission or something, there's always at least two songs that are involved in the video.
Yeah.
And it didn't really hit me until you actually brought that up, and I went back. And there's this for Day by Day. I think if the other song is Don't Leave Me Alone.
I
think the other one is at the very, very end where they're showing, like, behind-the-scenes stuff. They use that music.
Mm-hmm.
And so that song is amazing. And I kind of, because of hearing that little clip of it, wanted to... I took the mini album. I'd already bought the mini album. And I started clicking, like, which one is that? Which one is that? Because I wanted to hear it, like, right then.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think, too, like, what I love about really any music videos but American ones, and it's probably because I don't understand, like, the Japanese and the Korean language,
mm-hmm.
is, you know, what the music video shows becomes such a part of my experience when I listen to the song. So now, yeah, that Don't Leave Me Alone, I mean, that the title of the song is very fitting for the scene that you see, because, yeah, that's when basically Danny's being taken, and
wow.
Hyomin is trying to protect her. So I'm like, it's super dramatic, now every time I listen to the song, I'm still like, I like the song, but I have that kind of, those emotions I had going through too. So it's like that much more powerful.
But and I took it upon myself to try to find a translation for the narration at the beginning.
Oh,
just
awesome.
Because I think that that's kind of important to know, because it kind of does seem like it would affect the rest of the video.
Indeed.
And basically it's saying, it's basically like any other post-apocalyptic movie that you've seen. They had that narration, you know, humans wanted to be like the gods. They wanted to control, you know, the world like gods. And they're saying that the gods would not grant the human wishes because we were, you know, we were acting like animals. We were killing each other. We were destroying everything on our own. And so that's what they were saying. Like we wanted to have the power to be gods, but the gods were not giving it because of how we were treating each other.
Yeah.
And then it said one day there was a rumor that girls with special powers exist. Girls that could save the world. And then it says, and then it does ... tiara. And then it shows them on the motorcycle. So I'm assuming that something horrible has happened and one or more of these girls is supposed to have special powers, and that's why Jion is trying to capture them. That's the theorization that I'm seeing. Is
yeah.
Because it kind of explains why Hyomin is trying to protect her so much.
Yeah.
And it explains why Jion wants to kidnap her so much.
Oh, yeah. And it explains the blue eyes now. Cause,
yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's like,
actually, that's right.
That girl must be the key to something, and everybody seems to want her.
Right, right. And then there's the random guy that gets involved who tries to help Hyomin. And so it's just, you know, just like their other videos, that's what I like so much about it, is it's a story. You get
yeah.
a story. Like, Cry Cry, the story was seemingly within one video. Even though they kind of left a little part at the end,
yeah.
you know, but it was, you basically got like a full story within that 15-minute video. And this is the same way, except this time they're leaving it for a sequel. So I'm kind of excited to see what they do with the next one.
Yep. Oh no, I totally agree. All I have to say though, Erica, is this would make the best video game. Tiara video game. I would
oh
play
my
it.
God. Post-apocalyptic K-pop world. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
It's like, quick, learn this dance routine, save the world.
I guess transitioning from the music video specifically to the songs themselves on the mini album and just going track by track, I'll say first, yeah, I thought Day by Day was really a different direction for Tiara to go.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of had a almost folksy intro because it sounded
yeah.
like they had like the strings and almost like a lute.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out if that was a flute or if it was something different, because the way that it sounded was so pretty. And
yeah.
they're seeming to go with like a very Western Hispanic feel to the music now. And because that's exactly what I thought when I heard it.
Yeah.
Because it sounded very, very, I'm trying to think, not mariachi, but it just sounded very...
But just more traditional, I guess?
Yes, like, and that's, because I used to listen to a lot of Spanish music, that's why it kind of made me think of it.
Yeah.
And it was just very pretty, and I really love the sound. I don't know, like I said, I don't know exactly what that is that they use, but it was really, really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of, just on my notes, I basically say, like, if it wasn't for the rap, it really wouldn't even sound, like, super modern. I mean, it would still be just as lovely. And I do like the rap, especially now after all the controversy that we'll get to later.
Exactly.
But yeah, I thought that whole song worked really well. I kind of track, I guess, 4, I thought would work as well as a single, but we'll get to that in a second. Let's talk Holiday.
Oh, do we have to?
We have to a little.
Okay. Do you want me to start, or do you want to start?
I think you have more to say on it, so I'll let you start.
Okay. Well, I'm a big Tiara fan. I've liked a lot of their stuff pretty much since like the first time, which came out a long time ago. It feels like forever ago. But for some reason, this song, I tried to explain this to you because I couldn't really wrap it around my brain myself.
Yeah.
To really explain why I didn't like the song. but it's just the best way for me to explain it is that it just sounds, this song sounds like they just were not trying. They put a bunch of random words and music together and said, let's just use that. We're not even going to check it. We're just going to put it on there. And like the chorus, or not even the chorus, because it starts out, they say holiday, and yep. It kind of echoes, and they say lolly lolly day, and I'm like, what is that? Where are you even coming up with? And it's just, I mean, I can understand songs being silly and, you know, nonsensical, like Gangnam Style. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
But when this song does not have that vibe to it at all, it does not sound playful. It does not sound, overly happy to me. Now, I didn't look up the words, so maybe I'm missing something, but
yeah.
I could not get past the lolly lolly day. I couldn't do it. I tried.
Yeah.
And I tried multiple times, and I finally just had to concede that was the reason why I couldn't listen to that. And now I did like the rest of the songs, but that one particular, for some reason, just I couldn't get behind it.
Yeah. Well, and I did, because, yeah, you and I talked about this before recording,
mm-hmm.
And I did give it a couple more listens, and I figured out what they are saying is lonely, lonely day.
Really?
But they're not enunciating. Kind of like when they say holiday, they say holy, holy day.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
you know what? That makes sense, and maybe that, to me, lonely, lonely day makes a lot more sense than lolly, lolly day.
Yeah, I almost wonder if, because I felt like, in a lot of ways, I felt it was still kind of typical of a Tiara song, especially the chorus in particular, because, you know, they seem to like to repeat the same things over and over, where it's like, lovey dovey dovey.
And the roly poly, roly roly poly.
Yeah, exactly.
And day by day, day by day.
Yeah, so maybe it is more somber, because maybe, and again, I didn't check the full English lyrics, but yeah, maybe it's like, holly, you know, holy, holy day. Lonely, lonely day, and it's like maybe it's about not having somebody there for Christmas or something like that. I'm like, I don't know.
Well, so I don't know. I looked at the lyrics, and it is pretty much a supposed to be a sad song.
Okay.
Because they say, like, I keep seeing your face. It's a holiday, so I keep seeing your face. I don't know what that means, but you know, so it's supposed to be like a sad song, I guess. But I'm telling you, I cannot, because it doesn't sound like they're saying lonely, lonely day.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're saying lolly, lolly day. And I think until they fix that, I'm not going to be able to hear anything else but lolly, lolly day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I understand. It wasn't my favorite. I pretty much liked all of the songs to various degrees. So I still like the song.
Right.
But yeah, it may not even be top three for me on this, and there's only five, so that means
right.
something.
Well, yep. It is a mini album after all.
Indeed. But yeah, we talked a little already about track three, which is Don't Leave Me Alone.
Yes, I love that one.
Oh yeah, it was very good. I have in my notes, I said it was a good balance of voices, because you can hear really well how they switch member to member. Which,
yes.
Of course, you know, K-pop typically does, but you can't always tell. And I felt I could differentiate that a little more.
Yeah, it seemed a little more, not enunciated, but pronounced. Like, it was like they purposefully did this thing where they said, you sing, and they sang as powerfully as they could, and you could hear each individual voice. Like, you could say, that was a different person.
Yeah.
And it was really nice to get to hear that, because, you know, they harmonize amazingly well. That's no question. But it's nice when you get to hear the individual voices, because you sometimes I almost forget that they don't do that often. So you kind of forget that they each have very, 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 very powerful voices. I mean, it's kind of like with Davichi. They have very distinctive, very powerful voices. And they don't always get to use it, because a lot of the time they're just harmonizing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so kind of going off of the voice for a bit to the instrumentation,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you talking about how, you know, like sounded like a traditional Hispanic or Spanish song.
Like Western type of, it was very, very different.
Yeah, well, it had that, like, I have written here a lonely horn, because you hear that one horn at the beginning. And again, like, it's really powerful in the music video, but it stands out pretty well in the song too. But yeah, just that lonely horn kind of playing, and then the orchestra, you know, especially a string section, seems to kind of come in and really make the mood somber, but really kind of get you ready for kind of, yeah, the emotional nature of each of the members' own bits, you know, with their songs.
Right.
Yeah, so I agree. Very, very beautiful track. What do you think of track 4? I have a strong opinion on it, and I'm curious about what you think, Persa.
That was Hugh, right?
Yes.
That one, I liked that one. It was very cutesy. It made me think of Roly Poly.
Yeah.
And what was the other one? There was another song that it kind of reminded me of. There's, not Roly Poly.
Is it Bo Peep? Bo Peep?
Yes. Yeah. It was like, it kind of took me back to those, because it was kind of cutesy and upbeat and dancey. Now, if the lyrics, you know, obviously contradict that, then that might be an issue. But because I haven't actually looked at the lyrics on that one yet. But I really, really did like the music, and the voices sounded really good. And I like the just the different, because it sounded different than the other songs, because, you know, they didn't have that Western or Hispanic type feel to this one.
Yeah.
They didn't use any of the same instrumentation with this one, and I like the sound of it.
Yeah, I totally agree. In fact, actually, my strong opinions, thankfully, are all strong positive opinions. And once I got to this track, I was really surprised it wasn't the first single, in fact. Because, yeah, I felt it sounded like so many TRS standards. Roly Poly, Bo Peep, and a little bit of Lovey Dovey.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I still would like it to have a dance music video,
yes,
too. So
I hope
just,
they do.
Yeah, I hope so. But I thought it had, like, I listened specifically and kind of had the bass, I guess bass guitar or maybe bass synth kind of drive the song pretty well. But my favorite part was the addictively cute chorus where they go, "Hew, hew, woo."
Yes, that was one of my favorite parts.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like the that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that part, just I really like that. It sounded like something that you would dance to, like, out in a club or something.
Yeah.
And then the I think this is the one where they had the like,
yeah,
that kind of was, that was really, really awesome.
That was very good, Erica.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, this song's almost got more plays in my car than Day by Day. Just because it is a little more upbeat, and especially when I'm driving around, I prefer my playlist or CD to be fairly upbeat.
Right, me too.
Yep. I guess with the last one, I also kind of have written here, it's called Keep Out. I also have that it kind of, again, kind of fits with the TR mold a little bit, but that it didn't necessarily fit with the earlier songs. So I feel like the first 3 tracks on the mini album were kind of tied to the overall feel that I guess they wanted most of all from the single and the music video, but that the last 2, not necessarily, because they do like another woo woo woo, and, you know, they have a really awesome rap in my opinion in the last track as well.
Well, this one, I listened to this one because I listened to the whole album a couple times.
Yeah.
And it took me a minute to place this one.
Yeah.
But it's like, it sounds kind of like Shy Boy. Like, at the beginning,
mm-hmm,
like, it sounds like when they open, it sounds kind of like one of those 50s type songs that you would hear.
Yeah.
And it just, but I really like it. And I like the way their voices harmonize at the beginning where they're doing that really long, ooh. I mean, it was like, it was really pretty. And it was, like you said, it was still different. Like, it was, I like the fact that their songs, that they at least tried to make them different with it being a mini album. And I like that they did different things with the songs, because you really, I mean, except for maybe the Day by Day and the Don't Leave Me Alone, none of these really sounded the same.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, so that I thought was kind of impressive with it being a mini album, because a lot of times if you listen to, you know, say, I don't know, say some generic K-pop group's album, a lot of their songs sound the same. And it may
definitely
sound, it may even sound like stuff that they've done previously too. And so, and not that that's bad, and not that that makes it a bad album, but it is refreshing when they at least try to mix it up, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And change it up a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. And something that Sanjay Chan and I actually discussed last time is, you know, if you do a mini album, it's going to cost a lot, but the payoff with the number of songs, generally pretty low. So, you know, you've got to really wow us if we want to buy, especially the physical copy. Maybe not iTunes, you know, we could buy that. But if we want the physical copy, we want to know those songs are going to be awesome.
Right.
And so, yeah, I felt this was definitely, it had, you know, elements of what I've loved about TR in the past, but it also showed a maturity and, you know, a new direction for the future, I hope.
Hmm. Could be.
So I guess just, again, final question. Okay. Is this a album that you would buy the physical copy or at least recommend somebody buy the physical copy?
I was actually looking into buying the physical copy because I already bought the digital just because I wanted to have it.
Yeah.
And but yeah, I would definitely recommend it to other people as well. And I was actually looking on, I have a few different places that I always check for albums. I'm kind of in this mode now where I like to save up and get autographed copies. You've probably noticed.
Perhaps.
So, yeah, a little bit. But unfortunately, with a group as large as TR and as popular as TR, the autographs are very expensive. So that wasn't really an option.
Yeah.
But I am really, really wanting to get the actual physical copy. And I don't know if they had a... I want to say they had like at least a, like a little, a couple of pictures that came with it or something. I couldn't remember how they packaged this one though.
Yeah, I don't recall this one either, but I have actually purchased fairly recently, 3 of their, previous albums.
Oh.
And they're all in kind of a 6-inch by almost like 10-inch book form. So
okay.
They do have a lot of pictures. And so I don't see why they would change the design for this one. So I'm assuming it's going to be similar. And if so, then yeah, I feel you do get more than just the songs. You get some cool pictures. And who knows, yeah, if you do it you know, exclusively, you could get autographs. Or maybe, I don't remember if they've thrown it in, but maybe, you know, like a member card or something.
Yeah, that's what I really like about some of the albums that come out from South Korea. Because you don't get that kind of stuff in America. You just don't. And
no,
if you did,
sad.
I think people would be much, much more willing to save up and buy a physical album if it came with, you know, a pin or a t-shirt or pictures or just something, you know, something to justify spending the amount of money that you're about to spend for an album.
I totally agree. All right, so we just spoke a lot about Tiara's Day by Day album, but we would be remiss, especially as soon after or during a lot of the events of recent to occur, to not at least touch on them a bit and give our 2 cents about just kind of the whole Tiara controversy. Now, to set it up, there's a lot of details, so much that when I first told Erica we were going to talk about this, I sent her the Cliff Notes version without realizing it pretty much had 40 links to full news stories done by All K-Pop. So, yeah, there's a lot to it. I'll try to hit the highlights. So, it started off... So, Hwayoung is... She's not one of the 2 most recent members, but she's one right before that. So, I think, like, they have 9 now.
Mm-hmm.
So she'd be, like, the 7th member, and she's, you know, brought it, she's the rapper. So they went to Japan to do a concert. She hurt her leg, and essentially, I think this is the one confirmed part, but it sounds like because of that, she chose to, you know, not perform, opted out. Well, after the concerts, fans were noticing that there were all these tweets from Tiara members that seemed to be essentially about her, and kind of dissing her. So there was also an announcement of a press conference right after where the core contents media, Kim Kwang-soo, said they... Well, first it was like 24 hours or 48 hours in between. So
mm-hmm.
you didn't know what was going to happen, but you assumed it had to do with Hwayoung. Well, it was, and they decided to remove her. They said basically that her attitude was becoming troublesome and she was giving a lack of effort. There was immediate backlash. Immediate. From Tiara fans and really, I guess, you know, just the whole general K-pop community. Pretty much going off on the CEO and then very quickly going off on the still current members of Tiara themselves, because they believe that was an instance of bullying. And this was helped on a little because Hwaeyoung did tweet kind of a post, which I think it said something like truth. And so a lot of people were implying, which is a theme here, because everybody seems to be assuming and implying stuff. But it seemed to be implying, you know, that that wasn't the truth. So fans and netizens went crazy, finding all these instances of pictures and videos where it looked like Hwaeyoung was bullied. Now, much of this was and still is speculation, but it became such a big deal that events were canceled for Tiara, sponsorships were pulled, and honestly, it looked like a miracle if Tiara was going to be able to continue. I think one of the worst things that happened, in my opinion, and I hope this wasn't widespread, but the Japanese press had actually quoted K-pop fans in Japan saying, "I should have never trusted K-pop to begin with." Which, frankly, I think is kind of an immature sentiment anyways, and an overgeneralization of K-pop. But hey, I'm never going to be able to tell that guy face-to-face. So,
true.
Oh well. But yeah, so kind of in the heat of it still, a lot of the Tiara fan cafes and the Tiara fan groups, which had only really just formed this past year, they only got their designation queens like in the past year.
Mm-hmm.
So they became anti-fans. And so the CEO the whole time was like, no, you know, there was no bullying. They even released a little more detail saying like Hwaeyoung got upset, so she threw like her crutches down. And of course the netizens were like, well, yeah, that's because, you know, you put too much pressure on her. Now the CEO, said like they met with the family and parents and, you know, they want Hwaeyoung to, you know, do what, they feel or, well, want her to have a successful future career. They're like, you know, we admire her as a rapper. We think that she can go great. But there's still more pressure. So he even said, you know, if she really commits, you know, we'd welcome her back, basically. Although I think both sides know that's probably not going to happen. And for a while there, I thought that it should, if only because I thought that Tiara would kind of melt down. And I thought that the CEO would pretty much be like, look, we'll pay you whatever. Just please come back. But Hwaeyoung eventually, after some of these meetings, apologized on her own. You know, it's like, sorry for causing you trouble. Thanks for the support for Tiara and for me. And kind of, I guess, the most up-to-date is that some of the anti-fans were going to do a protest. And it seemed to have fallen through for logistic purposes. But the CEO also offered to meet with them. And at first he wasn't going to. Then the leader, the CEO wanted to, but the leader of the anti Tiara fans or the old fan group turned anti-Tiara. It's like, no. And then he met with them, but they still want a meeting with all the Tiara girls as well, which I think that's just an attempt to be in the same room. Huh. And I couldn't blame them. but no, so now it definitely is like very calm down comparatively. So all that, you know, hype, hyperbole, and speculation, I think it's already set in fans' minds, because even when I see on the American side, even when I see, like, all K-pop articles now mention Tiara, they're all very divided, even though you don't really hear as much as you did earlier in the week about it. And Jihyun even went on a TV show and didn't really talk about the issue at all. Yeah. I think it was one of their comedy shows. But, you know, the fans are like, well, that was a brave move. You know, they have to continue forth. And so it's all kinds of craziness.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on all of this speculation or otherwise that's just occurred for Tiara?
Well, to be honest, I kind of, when I first heard about the whole thing and, you know, read all the articles and you kind of helped explain it to me, I was immediately like, how could they, you know, how could they have bullied that poor girl? She, you know, this, that, and but then when you think about it, it's kind of like, you know, the video that you sent me from Eat Your Kimchi. They did a very kind of intensive review of the whole thing and brought up some very, very good points. Like, we don't 100% know what happened or who did anything or who said anything. We don't know, and we never will. So, you know, I kind of saw their point that, you know, it's unfair to blame anybody, really, because we're never going to know the whole story because we were never involved. So anything that happens is just hearsay and speculation. So all these people that are petitioning to have them disbanded, they're having their groups pulled down, the sponsorships are being pulled. That's not fair to the other, you know, that's not fair to the group, really, because nobody knows the whole story. Now, I understand they don't necessarily may not want to be associated with all the drama. I kind of get that. But it just doesn't, it seems a little extreme when nobody really knows what's going on in the first place.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that they should all just, you know, be kind of left alone so they can work it out. Because, I mean, when you think about it, you know, I think people tend to forget how young these girls are. They are very, very young. And they have not had normal lives ever.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
I mean, from the point that they were probably 9, 10 years old, this is what they were being, you know, this is what they were practicing to do. And you take these people who this is all they know because this is what they've been working for, and you put them together with a bunch of other people who are just as intense and competitive, and, you know, they want to do, you know, they want to do this just as much as everybody else, and they don't even know each other. And you just kind of shove them together and say, well, you guys are going to have to spend, you know, every waking second together for an indefinite amount of time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just, it's not fair to put that kind of pressure on somebody or a group of people and expect something to not happen like this.
Totally.
Because, I mean,
agree.
there's going to be arguments. And quite honestly, I'm surprised that none of the other ones have been publicized. Because, Girls' Generation tells stories all the time about how they fight and they argue and they, you know, but you don't see it all over the news. You don't see their sponsorships being pulled, which I think maybe probably has a lot to do with none of their members were kicked out or left. But that's not really the point. It just, the whole thing is all very confusing. There's a lot of underlying stuff that we don't know and we'll never know. And, you know, I kind of chose to give them all the benefit of the doubt and just be like, okay, that's not going to affect the way that I feel about their music, because I still like the way they still sing and they still perform and they do everything else that they used to do. And that doesn't change anything, because, I mean, their music has not changed because of this. Their talent has not gone away because of this. So, you know, I don't see any reason why people should be getting so, you know, quite so upset about it, really.
Yeah.
I mean, if she was bullied, then that is awful, and I would definitely take her side if they had some kind of proof that this was all on them, and they were the ones doing this to her, and they were trying to get her kicked out, or something to that effect. But as far as we know, there isn't anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel, and you referenced Eat Your Kimchi, I feel Simon and Martina did one of the most measured responses I've seen. So, yeah, even just teasing this on our Facebook page, I'm like, we're not going to be able to top them. But, I totally agree with their statements and then yours as well. because, you know, we think that we know these artists really well. And maybe some of them go on the TV shows and that's who they really are. Or maybe others, it's this facade to kind of get them through this hectic life that they have to live. So, you know, we don't really know. And even if you look at the U.S., you know, everything seems rosy until you get some person with a camera in your business and it goes all over the tabloids.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's craziness. But even then, like, what should we care? It's their lives. That being said, I feel like what I actually took away from this incident the most is something that All K-Pop, they had a great editorial, and it specifically highlighted this one point, but you and Eat Your Kimchi also alluded it too, and it's just the pressures on these young girls, young boys, or young men and young women just throughout their lives from when they sign up to be an idol. And Eat Your Kimchi specifically talked about how, you know, there's all this interdimensional competition. It might not even be for money, but just so that you're not forgotten and that you still get, like, the lead, you know, for a part or something. I mean, the same way that you would compete maybe with your best friends in a play. You know,
right.
You want to be Juliet, you're stuck being the nurse. But hey, next play, maybe you can turn it around. So, and I feel that that's really a systemic issue with kind of the K-pop industry in general. But I do place, and this is where all K-pop was going, I do place some blame if there was bullying, which, I mean, again, like you mentioned, Erica, there are all kinds of fights. And frankly, with Tiara, I can see why, because basically about a year ago, I think when Lovey Dovey, or maybe Cry Cry, around that time, the CEO basically said, hey, if you girls aren't cutting it, you know, if you're not bringing, you know, the best attitude and the best effort to work every day, I will cut you from, you know, the group. And, you know, we'll get new members. And then they got two new members. So this was already after Hui Young. This is, you know, the two new members, Danny and the other new girl. But just being so blatant about it and, you know, making that public, well, in that case, to everybody and not just to the girls. But, I mean, they're making them have to compete with each other. And you have girls, like Jihyun often gets a lot of blame. And I don't think it helps that, especially, she's really good at acting. Basically, like, a girl from Mean Girls.
Sort of.
Yeah.
That's the impression I get from her, is that she's one of those people that will just kind of, like, I don't know, she seems very shifty, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and if you ever watch God of Study, it doesn't help that that's totally the character she plays. She plays kind of the mean girl.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, there's well, you just have to watch that show. But, yeah, so, like, girls like her and then some of the others were the original trainees and original members for Tiara back when it was a much smaller group, like five members. Mm-hmm. And so now you've basically gotten a total of four new members. And maybe they ask themselves, like, what have we been doing wrong that you keep feeling you need to change the group? And, you know, with threats again like that, because I know Jihyun, and this may have been the netizens, but they actually, I do remember, I think she or the CEO actually apologized, but she went on stage once and was probably just really tired, but she didn't look happy. It was back doing the roly-poly promotions.
Oh, I remember that. She got so much criticism for that because they were like, well, she can at least smile.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, calm down.
Well, and that's it again. I mean, that's like, they have so much pressure. And, I mean, like, they went to Italy fairly recently, and that was, like, their first vacation I think they had in 2 years. And even then, they have tons of professional pictures. I'm like, you can't tell me they weren't working then, too.
Right,
so,
right.
I mean, their lives are, it's a controlled environment. You get a lot of benefit financially in the end if you do really well. You obviously get famous, but with everything like fame and wealth, it's not necessarily an easy road along the way.
No, and, you know, again, this actually never occurred to me until we were about to do this recording and for the podcast, but, you know, along with all the pressures and all of the stuff they have to put up with, they're young. They're going through normal teenage girl things, and they're having to deal with that on top of all this, you know, stuff that normal people would never have to even think about.
Yeah.
And it's all in everybody's face all the time because they're famous. And, you know, I understand this is what they signed up for, but I don't think there was anything in their contract that said that they needed their whole entire life story broadcasted 24 hours a day either.
Yeah.
So, you know, to a certain extent, I think that they need to be given privacy. I mean, it's just, you know, that's their right as a human being.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you know, they shouldn't have every second of every day, you know, criticized.
And we've seen the ramifications of that with Toho Shinki. Or
exactly.
TVXQ. I mean, that's pretty much why the three went over to Japan. They're like, wait, your labels treat them well and, you know, let them do stuff and give them free time? Sign me up.
Right, right. It's like, why, you know, what are we doing over here? Let's go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, and it's kind of sad in a way, because I think nobody, they either don't know or they just don't want to think about how very systematic everything is. Like, it's very controlled, like you said. It's very, you know, everything is scheduled out. Everything is set in stone. Everything is this, this, and this. And if they're lucky enough to have any free time, they still have to spend it together. They don't get any time to themselves to recuperate from all this stuff. They don't, you know what I mean? And it's just, it's a lot to put on anybody, much less a group of people.
Yeah. All right. Well, moving on to a much less serious note, it's the end of the show. So, yes, it's time for us to tell you how to follow us and to thank you for listening to hopefully yet another episode of the Hallyu Wave. So I know, Erica, it has been a great pleasure to have you.
Oh, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you for letting me do this.
Oh, no, no. Thank you. again, you've definitely been one of the people that maybe more than any has really propelled me into K-pop. And I know specifically I can thank you for making me like girl groups. You and I both have kind of the odd, maybe not so much anymore, but I really liked guy groups at first because they were more rocking. You really liked girl groups before because of the whole cutesy and pink thing.
Right.
And then eventually, thanks to your videos, I'm like, well, even if I don't like the songs, they're kind of nice to look at. So, I basically fell over the songs too.
Nice.
So,
yeah, it does kind of work out for everybody. Even, you know, it's kind of like they made the comparison on Eat Your Kimchi. It's, you know, some groups sell albums based on their looks. So
yeah.
Even if the songs aren't necessarily that good, you're going to buy it anyway because you still like them.
It's
so
true.
It's got a little something for everybody.
Yep. Yes. But yes, so yeah, thank you again. And yeah, let people know if they want to follow you, how they can.
Well, I have a Facebook and a Twitter and a Tumblr, and because I obviously don't need any free time. So my Facebook and Twitter and I think the Tumblr too are all just my name. So it's Erica Dodd, which I think is, you can put it up on the Facebook page for the podcast in case people want it or something.
Sure.
But I would like to talk to people about K-pop. I love doing that. It's what I do best.
Indeed. Well, cool. Well, I will definitely do that. And yeah, speaking of the Facebook page, because, you know, probably best to tell them how to get to it. And
right
now, we don't really have a website, so this is kind of the main front page that we're using. But you don't have to have Facebook to go to it. But it's facebook.com/thehallyuwave. And that's Hallyu is spelled H-A-L-L-Y-U. You can also email us because we'd love to hear comments. And you can even do something like we're doing right now, record like an MP3, and we may be able to play it on the show. So if you want to send something like that to us, it's HallyuWavePodcast@gmail.com. Or, of course, you can check us out on iTunes, where maybe you found us already. If you're just listening to one episode, feel free to subscribe. You can even rate us and comment on our iTunes page if you like. If you are listening to us some other way and you want to find us on iTunes, you can go to tinyurl.com/thehallyuwave. Or if you want to, you don't like iTunes, but you want to listen to us another way, then just go to thehallyuwave.podomatic. That's podomatic.com. And you can check us out there.
That is the most amazing name for a website.
I really like it. Podomatic. I mean, it pretty much makes sense.
It makes me think of shiny, elastic, fantastic, podomatic.
Yep. It'll be in their next song. Just you wait.
I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah. But yeah, so I guess that's it. Normally I would tease for next week, but I don't have any idea yet because I kind of like to wait to see what new songs come out. And I should really honestly pay attention to the teasers more, so I know. But, oh well, we'll find out. So just check back.
It'll be a surprise.
Indeed. It'll be a surprise for everybody. So just check back next Tuesday and every Tuesday on the Hallyu Wave podcast. So goodbye, everybody.